Makeshift Stories presents Somewhere, Sometime, an irregular series of short sci-fi and fantasy stories.
Is a random event truly random? Or is there intention behind it? That depends on how you look at things. Suppose you were walking through a forest and a tree fell over, almost hitting you. From the point of view of the tree in the forest, it was inevitable that the tree would grow up and one day fall down. So it was not a random event. You just happened to be there when the inevitable occurred. The tree and the forest were not trying to target you. They had no intention other than to follow the forces that control their existence. In this month's story, Jerry Anders, a veteran overnight talk radio host, chooses to stay on the air during an extreme weather event to discuss recent changes to the climate with his guests and listeners. Partway through the night, his show is disrupted by a lightning strike, and Jerry finds himself talking to an odd anonymous caller who tries to explain what is happening outside in very cryptic terms, which hint that this may very well be Jerry's last show ever. We invite you now to sit back and relax as you listen to episode 105, Darkness to Dawn. Somewhere in some time, when chance catches up to you, it will be nothing personal.
Hello and welcome to the first hours of the new week, this stormy Sunday morning, direct from the center of the continent, the heartland of the overnight airways. We've got an implausibly huge storm out there, and if you haven't already done so, you should be down in your basements. They usually call these things supercells, but this one is a massive accumulation of them. The weather people refer to it as something named a mesoscale collective system. Fancy words for it's freaking unbelievably huge, covering most of the continent at this moment. It's dumping golf ball-sized hail, torrential rains, and packing hurricane-strength winds, which have closed almost everything. Where there's still power and working cell phone networks, social media sites are being overwhelmed with reports of flash flooding and severe damage. This deluge has crippled the very foundations of our economy. It's the third and by far the largest storm this year. In fact, this summer is the first time such massive storms have ever occurred, and some are blaming it on secretive hidden forces, while others on the proverbial villain, human-caused climate change. That's what our show tonight is about. As always, I'm your guide through the dark hours, Jerry Anders. So what is going on with the weather? Really, what is going on? What is the real truth? Here on Darkness to Dawn, that is what we are going to uncover. The truth, before the next light of the sun touches our fair country again. Due to the extreme weather, everyone at the radio station except me has abandoned ship. Given the importance and currency of this morning's show, I've chosen to stay on the air as long as I can, despite the risks of being here. The power was knocked out about an hour before airtime. The last technician switched over to the primary generator and confirmed we should be okay until morning. So we're running on good old pure North American diesel, which, if you believe the stories we're being fed, is the heart of the problem. That generator down in the basement is creating more than a few amps. It's changing the weather out there by warming things up, or maybe not. There's more theories out there about this than you can shake a stick at. I have two guests lined up tonight who have alternate, if not unusual, explanations, which they both claim are 100% solid, not theory at all. They have the proof. Myrtle Daniels is a well-known author of Secrets of the World Beneath Us, and Marshall Digby is president of the Other Factors Foundation. Weather permitting, ha, that's a joke, they'll both be up after the daily news summary. And here's what's happened today. The World Bank announced that India's GDP has now surpassed that of China, making it the largest economy in the world. And the new trading bloc between India, China, and Brazil now accounts for 79% of all global economic activity. Ryan Hall, Darkness to Dawn's analyst, is here as always to guide us through the murky world of global finance. Are you there, Ryan?
I am, Jerry. But it's not true. Those supposed global institutions feeding us data are just propaganda wings of the ruling elite, the 13 families that control the world. They don't want us to know what's really going on, so they cook the books to work in their interest. We kicked them out of this country 20 years ago, so they're trying to show us that we don't matter anymore. But our economy is still globally the largest, and we did that without their help. That's what they are desperate to hide.
So you're saying that these stats we constantly get from world organizations are lies?
Not really lies, Jerry. Just misleading selective results which prove only what they want the world to believe. They just don't bother to report on us and what's left of the UK, because we're not part of their international trading bloc. If we were included in their stats, we'd be at the top of the heap. And they can't afford the rest of the world to find out we're still living the good life. It might encourage other countries to smarten up, want their independence, and pull out. The families would lose control, and that's something they can't tolerate.
We talked about this before, Ryan, so our listeners are familiar with your analysis. Do you have new intel that's relevant to our show's theme tonight?
Yes, in fact, I do, Jerry. There's new satellite imagery, highly classified stuff. It comes from our spy sat, the last functioning one we have up there. Our government claims that we don't have the money to launch more, but really it's the trading blocks dictating to us what we're allowed to put into orbit. But I digress. These classified sat photos tell the real truth. The family's trading blocks have been moving their coastal cities to higher ground, and where that's not practical, they're building immense berms to protect them. And they have secretly built a massive antenna array in Greenland, brand new, similar to the one in Alaska, the HARP array, but 1,000 times larger. The families are using it to melt the ice cap. They've got all their cities prepared. They want to flood us out along our coasts and use that array to mess with our weather inland. That's why all of a sudden we're getting these massive destructive storms.
Hold that thought, Ryan. Myrtle Daniels just logged on. I want to get her thoughts on your very interesting points. Myrtle, did you catch what Ryan was saying?
Most of it, Jerry, and thanks for having me back on the show again. There's a tornado warning here. I've moved to my basement. I've got a backup generator, but if I drop off, that means the internet has gone down. I'll stay on air as long as I can.
We'll hope for the best, Myrtle, and thanks for making the effort. Given what's happening in our skies right now, it's vital that our listeners find out the truth. Do you think Ryan is right that the extreme weather and rising oceans are the result of the 13 families trying to rein in the unaligned nations?
I have the greatest respect for Ryan. I've seen those classified satellite photos myself, and they are certainly telling a different story than what you'll find on your phone's map app. Obviously, that data is being edited to keep us in the dark. Ryan didn't mention this, but the classified images are also showing how deserts in Africa, Central Asia, South America, and Australia are rapidly expanding. If you project the pattern into the near future, there will be a globe-spanning arid hot zone that'll turn to sand. So Ryan's right. The climate is being intentionally manipulated. He's just got the wrong people behind it. In fact, it's not humans at all. At least we wouldn't recognize them as human.
Jerry, we all agree that what's going on outside tonight is the result of some form of artificial manipulation. I know where Myrtle is going with this, but her proof is all circumstantial and speculation, based on legend. While the 13 families are well known and their lineage traces back to the Illuminati in the 1700s, all documented, and they're playing a dangerous board game with the world and our climate to force the non-aligned back into the fold. It could easily get out of our control and alter our world beyond recognition.
And that's the crux of the problem, Jerry. Think about who will ultimately benefit from runaway warming. Ryan, isn't it costing the 13 families trillions to protect their investments around the planet? You've got to look at who would prosper. In my book, Secrets of the World Beneath Us, available online on my website for your listeners who want to read it, I've proven why the reptilians can't live for extended periods of time on the surface. They need a constant temperature between 40 and 50 degrees Celsius. That's why their cities are nearly a mile underground. We know that they have chameleon-like powers and have infiltrated all our political and business systems at the highest levels. So I ask, to whose benefit is the formation of large continent-spanning hot deserts? The reptilians want the climate to change so they can come back to the surface after 56 million years of exile and claim what is rightfully theirs. To them, us humans are the interlopers and we are unwittingly aiding their return. It's as simple as that, and we need to wake up. Watch the eyes of the next politician you vote for. It's all in my book, How to Identify and Ultimately Defeat Them. Unfortunately, Jerry, I've had to go into hiding since the publication of my book. I've moved as far north as I can. That's all I can reveal.
Thanks, Myrtle and Ryan. I'm picking up on a common theme. I think we have agreed that what is going on is not a natural process. Storms that cover most of the continent just shouldn't be, and somehow we are being manipulated into making things worse. Just hold that thought. I want to bring our second guest, Marshall Digby, president of the Other Factors Climate Study Foundation, into the conversation. Hi, Marshall, are you there? It sounds like you've got a bad connection. You're dropping out. Try disconnecting and logging in again.
Will do, Jerry.
While Marshall is reconnecting, I want to ask the two of you a question. The storm tonight, is it the result of the cumulative effect of the climate shifts we have been seeing, or is it something else?
This is Ryan, Jerry, and it's definitely something else. Something we haven't seen before. Weaponized weather. It's an attack. A direct attack on the continent and on us. The 13 families have been planning this for years. It's the Greenland Array. The first small mesoscale storm in the spring was a test of that system. Even tonight's storm may only be a test. I doubt if we have seen the full power of the array yet.
Interesting, Ryan, but I've got Marshall back on the line and I'd like to get him in on the discussion. Hi, Marshall.
Good evening, Jerry. Sorry for the rough start. The net has been overwhelmed by social media traffic along the eastern seaboard. The east end of the storm system has swung out over the ocean and is causing a huge surge. People are moving inland, but I'm on high ground and staying put.
You're sure you are safe, Marshall?
I'm half a mile inland on a hill. I should be fine. Plus, I'm prepared. I have enough supplies to last a few weeks.
Good to know. We all need to be someplace safe tonight, and I hope all our listeners are as prepared as you are, Marshall. If you're listening, please take the appropriate actions and follow the instructions on your emergency alert system. Your local officials are there to protect you. Don't ignore them. Marshall, first, it's great to hear from you again. Thanks for coming back on the show, especially on a night like this one. We had a lot of positive feedback from your last appearance. It's obvious that you out there, our listeners, appreciate what Marshall and his foundation are doing to find the truth behind the events occurring around us every day. Marshall, before you comment on our discussion, can you tell our listeners a bit about the Other Factors Foundation?
I'd be glad to, Jerry, and thanks for being patient. The Other Factors Foundation was started by myself and several other skeptics over a decade ago. We take nothing at face value and do our best to sort the wheat from the chaff. The climate change issue has been one of our focuses. So tonight's discussion is very prurient to our current research. And let me tell you, it's as clear as mud. There are two basic schools of thought. On one extreme, we have the natural cycle people, and at the other, the artificially induced groups. But there is a third theory which combines the two extremes. Someone or some power is encouraging us to exacerbate a natural tendency. I truly respect Ryan and Myrtle for the work they have done in this area. However, the truth is, well, I can only say that it is much more complex and contradictory, with multiple agents working to manipulate us into altering our environment at a point in time where such activities would have the greatest effect.
Marshall, are these different forces colluding and working together?
No, Jerry. There is no master plan here. We believe that what is happening is that these forces all recognize the same opportunity and have independently exploited the situation for their own ends.
And what situation did they exploit, Marshall?
We humans are at a point in our technical development where we can alter our environment on a never-seen-before scale. And as I already mentioned, combine this with the current natural cycle, and you have the perfect storm.
Who are they and what do they want, Marshall?
Well, Ryan and Myrtle have already identified two.
Jerry?
Go ahead, Myrtle.
We've heard this from the Institute before. It's old news.
Oh! I just felt a shock run through me, listeners, and my hair is standing on end. The lights are out. I'm not sure if you can still hear me. There. The backup generator's kicked in, and the lights in the studio are back on. There must have been a lightning strike on the transmitter tower on the roof. Good thing the studio's in the basement. I'm smelling something like burnt hair. No, wait, I'm wrong. It was the heating system kicking in the first time for months. It's suddenly very cold in here. That last thunderclap, you, our listeners, must have heard it. It was right on top of me. Literally shook the whole building. And looks like it took out the whole internet. Myrtle? Marshall? Ryan? Are you there? No response. Looks like I've lost connection to our guests, but the board is showing that we are still live on air. The transmitter wasn't damaged. I'm not sure how much you've heard. To recap, the station here has taken a direct hit from lightning, and the transmitter may have been out for a few seconds. Those things were built decades ago and can withstand a lightning strike. Looks like old low-tech is better at weathering this storm than the new stuff. Not surprising, really. It's been around for over a century and a half. However, the internet is out, so I have no contact with our guests. And we still have phones. Landlines, remember them? It's also old tech. Obviously equally robust in an electrical storm. The phones run on their own power supply, and let's see. Yes, I'm getting a dial tone. So if you are listening out there and want to keep this fascinating and important discussion going, give us a call. The lines are open at 1-800-555-0000. That's 1-800-555. I see we have a caller already. This is Darkness to Dawn, and you are on the air. Please tell us your name and where you are calling from.
Hi, Jerry. I've been listening to your show for years.
What's your name again, caller? I didn't catch it.
I'd prefer to stay anonymous.
That's not how the show works, caller. But I'm not seeing any other people in the phone queue, so I'll make an exception just this once. But I will bump you if another caller dials in, unless you reveal to us who you are. Fair enough?
I'm quite confident that we won't be interrupted, Jerry. If you and your listeners knew who I was, you wouldn't listen to me.
Why, caller? Why wouldn't we listen to you?
Because you ignore my messages every day when I'm right in front of your face, like the storm over you right now.
Are you saying you were responsible for the megastorm? Are you one of the hidden forces Marshall and his foundation have been tracking?
Marshall's foundation is irrelevant and has no clue and no monopoly on the truth. It has ignored me, us, as the real force behind everything.
Are you referring to the extreme weather phenomena?
I am referring to everything. We are everything.
You're talking in riddles, caller.
No. We are being as straightforward as possible within your range of comprehension. That is the limiting factor here, Jerry. Hopefully, you will end up seeing the light and understand.
You're being evasive, caller. Okay, let's try this. Where are you calling from? The line you're on is exceptionally clean, especially with all the interference from the storm. You must be nearby the studio.
I am very close to you, Jerry. You could say that we are both right around you and far away. We are everywhere.
There you go again, talking in riddles, caller. So you admit that you represent a group, which from what you are saying is huge and has infiltrated all our institutions. That's what you mean by everywhere, right?
I am not an infiltrator. If anything, Jerry, you and your listeners are the aliens. Ancient invaders of my body, or more correctly, an infection crawling across our skin.
I'm not sure what that's supposed to mean, and I get the sense that you are just playing me the fool. However, I'm not seeing another caller, so I'll keep you on the air for now. But I want to get back to tonight's topic. You've heard our three guests earlier on the show before the lightning strike took them off air. So where do you or the group you represent stand on this?
Simple, Jerry. And this is what I called in to say. We are ill and need to cleanse the infection. Sorry.
Your group is controlling the weather, changing the climate. Is that what you are saying?
We simply are, Jerry.
You're getting cryptic on me again. You are simply what? Angry?
We are the storm. We are everything. We are just doing what we must do to survive. It is not personal in any way, Jerry.
Okay, caller, let me try to summarize here, so our listeners and I can get this straight in our heads. You claim to be a representative of some global spanning group, and this group is behind these mesoscale storms which have been devastating the central part of the continent. I'm finding this a little hard to take seriously, caller, especially since you refuse to identify yourself. And to be honest, the way you talk makes you sound, well, flaky, like you are somehow off balance. I don't mean to offend you, caller.
No offense taken. We are ill. Like one of you, Our temperature rises as part of the automatic process to fend off an infection. I have already said it's nothing personal. The infection will be slowly overcome. Then we will be changed, but healthy again. We will survive. It's about the balance, Jerry. Think of it this way. The human body contains a universe of microbes and fungi that you depend on to be healthy. If that community gets out of balance, with one type of microbe running wild, you get sick. Until the balance can be restored. There is no malicious intent toward the rogue microbe. It must simply be brought back into balance with the rest of the community.
Okay, caller, I'm trying to follow your thought process, but it's hard to pull a logical thread out of what you are saying. What has any of this to do with the storm or the extreme weather?
They are a simple reflex in the battle to restore the balance, Jerry. Sorry.
Again, caller, you are not making any sense. Are you saying that the storms, the rising oceans, all of it is some type of plan to change the balance of power? And what are you sorry about? Is your so-called group beginning to have doubts and feel guilty for all the suffering you are causing?
It is us who are suffering, Jerry, and we cannot direct what is happening to restore the balance. We cannot control the individual events any more than you could stop your immune system from destroying a specific virus cell. I have liked your show over the years, Jerry. It has been a great insight into your minds, and the occasional theory has even come close to the truth.
Thank you, I guess. Caller, you seem to be referring to the show in the past tense. Why? For once, can you give me a straightforward answer?
We didn't aim the lightning, Jerry. It just was a natural result of a static buildup in the clouds and the overwhelming need to balance the charge with the ground. The transmitter tower was the best way to do that. There was no consciousness involved, no intention other than to equalize the charge by pushing it into the ground through the metal of the antenna down into the earth around it. I are sorry. Such things just happen in the overall battle to restore the harmony. It was a good show, Jerry.
Well, it has certainly been a weird one, caller. I don't feel like we've gotten any closer to the truth here.
But we have, Jerry. I've explained it all.
Sorry, caller, but by the time on the console, the first hint of dawn way up above those oppressively dark clouds is starting to remove the veil of darkness. That means we have come to the end of the show and you, our listeners, have traveled with us through the night to the first rays of the truth. Although our last caller may have sidetracked us a bit, looks like they have hung up. Please don't call back. I think I can hear the morning crew coming in. Anyway, there is a bright light out in the control room coming this way. Possibly a flashlight or something. Wow, that's brilliant. I feel a strong need to go and check that out. This is Jerry Andrews signing off. Until we meet again in the midnight depths of the darkness.
Thanks for listening to Makeshift Stories 105, Darkness to Dawn. We hope that you've enjoyed this month's episode. As always, if you like what we're doing, please tell your friends about us or write a review on iTunes or Stitcher Radio, or check us out on Facebook. We love hearing your comments, so send us an email to makeshiftstories@gmail.com or visit our website at makeshiftstories.com. And thanks to those from all over the planet who have already emailed us. We release a new story every month between the 15th and the 20th. To listen to Makeshift Stories on your iOS or Android device, please download Stitcher Radio from iTunes or the Google Play Store. This month's episode was written by Ellen V. Hare and read by Mitchell Tu. The opening and closing themes were composed and recorded by David H. Makeshift Stories is released under a Creative Commons non-commercial attribution, no derivative license, which means that you're free to share our stories. Just remember to credit us and don't alter anything.